This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Early voting starts on Saturday. We have had a years-long effort every election season to bring you as many candidates as we can on this program at length if they're going to be on your ballots. And that sometimes means even candidates who are unopposed. You just heard one. You're going to hear another. Republican Stephen Hawley is a candidate in New York State Assembly District number 139, running unopposed for re-election, and he is back with us now. Assembly Member Hawley, thank you for being with us.
Well, thanks so much for having me on, Evan. I just listened to your end of your interview with Josh Jensen, who's doing a great job in the Assembly. And I appreciate having the opportunity to come on, even though unless there's a strong write-in campaign, I'll be serving the residents of the 139.
Well, listen, I mean, this is what I said to Assemblymember Jensen. I'll ask you this question. What is it about you guys that you can't get opponents? You must be the most popular people in the Assembly.
Well, that may be so for Josh, but I have to work at it, Evan. I'd like to think that we're representing people once we get into office. We're all required to be on the ballot on a certain line, but once we get into office, we represent folks. We wish they were all registered to vote so that they could express their impressions and opinions and vote for people who are trying to serve their communities in elected positions. And I encourage that all the time. I can remember when I first got elected a while ago, I was the MC of the annual Strawberry Festival up in Albion, New York, in Orleans County. And after I MC'd that, before I went over to Bergen for their parade, which is what we do, a lady came up to me and said, "Hey, you're a new assemblyman, and I just would like to talk with you. My son is a career military, and he's getting harassing," she used that word, "letters from the Department of Taxation and Finance." Well, I've been in office about 4 months, and I said, "Well, come on down to my office, and we'll see what we can do." So she did, and I happened to be in that office at the time, and she had kind of a forlorn look on her face, and she said, "Mr. Hawley, my friends say that you may not be able to help me." And I said, "Oh, why is that?" And she looked at me and kind of looked down and looked up at me again, and she said, "Well, I'm a Democrat." And I looked at her and I said, "Your friends are absolutely right. You'll have to leave the office now." I didn't want her to expire right there, so I said, "Give me a hug. That's ridiculous. We'll do our very best for anybody who has an issue with the state of New York." So maybe that's why we don't have an opponent. I wish we did, because choices are extremely important, and so are the policies that office holders decision make for their constituents.
Well, and so Assemblyman Hawley, let me ask you to build on some of what we heard in the first half hour. Assemblyman Jensen was talking about the fact that, yes, you are members of a legislative minority, but there is still a very important role. Even if that minority doesn't change, there's an important role in checking and challenging and being a voice in the room when legislation is being crafted and making sure that before it gets to the finish line, certain things are vetted. Can you describe what that process is like and the importance of doing that work, albeit in the minority?
Sure. I think probably the most important thing for an elected official, and as you say, we are in the minority, both in the Senate and the Assembly, and the office in the Executive Mansion is held by a member of the same party. So there aren't any specific checks and balances by elected officials, but there are some areas that we certainly can work in to try to get policies and ideas across, whether it's in terms of legislation or affecting proposed legislation. And that's done through relationships. And it's just like everyday life. We have relationships. We hope fairly strong relationships with our neighbors, with folks that we go to church with the folks that we see in our businesses or in Wegmans or Tops or wherever we do our grocery shopping, as well as other fellow elected officials. If I have an idea that I think is important, or if a constituent has an idea that's important, I will either introduce it and ask for a member of the majority, as well as others, the other 149 assembly people, if they're interested in sponsoring it with me. And from there, we go forward and see how that fares in terms of what committee it's assigned to and whether I believe it'll make the floor. If I don't think that it's going to make the floor, I will ask a member of the majority, many of whom are my close friends, if you will, and we will ask them to consider it. And many times they will, whether it's the Gold Star Families legislation that was my idea but got passed and sponsored by Dee Dee Barrett, an assemblywoman from downstate, or whether it's one I'm working on now, another Gold Star Family piece of legislation to allow a waiver of the registration fee for Gold Star moms. I'm going to ask Assemblywoman Pam Hunter to sponsor that. It's a little less money coming into the state of New York, but anytime we're talking about service members and veterans and Gold Star moms and Gold Star families, that is not a partisan issue. It is off limits. So creating relationships with folks, whether you agree with them 50% of the time, 10% of the time, doesn't matter. We should respect one another and help hopefully get the job done, regardless of whose name is on the legislation.
How would you rate the health of the relationships among the members of the legislature across parties right now?
Well, as you know, I've had a number of years in the assembly. I can tell you from when I started back in the winter of 2006, when I was only 19 years old, of course, the relationships under that speaker were not anything to write home about to mom. Since then, things have improved to a certain amount of the members of the majority can not only look at us, they can talk to us, and we might even have dinner with them. That's an important change. Of course, there are some that will never change, and we recognize that. We don't necessarily have that type of relationship. But as I just mentioned, whether it's Pam Hunter, whether it's others throughout the state, Donna Lopardo, who is the chairwoman of the Agriculture Committee, I do have great relationships with folks and respect what they do because they represent the same number of folks that I do, 135,000 people. So the relationships are better. There are some that call themselves comrades, and they're not referencing that's somewhat distressing. But again, they've been elected by 135,000 plus or minus people, and they hold the same office that I do.
Do you think things bottomed out when Sheldon Silver was in leadership there?
I would say that was probably the low point. I can relate to you a comment that the current speaker made to me. We both happened to, it was what we call a getaway day, which means it's the last day of session for that week, and we're all going back to our districts, back to our homes and our neighbors. And I happened to be walking through what's known as the well down in the legislative office building, and Carl Hastie was walking through that well with me. And I said, well, Carl, and he was, I think he'd been there three or four more years than I had at that point, but not a lot. And I said, well, Carl, what do you think about the Sheldon Silver issue? And he said, well, in some ways, it's just another day in Albany. And that was at that time kind of prophetic, not pathetic, but prophetic. And I think as a result of that, that's one of many reasons he was chosen to be speaker. He's an easy guy to get to know. He's made a lot of changes for the good. There are still many things that we don't agree with, that's why we have a minority, because we're not the silent majority. We're very vocal, and Josh does a great job on the health side of issues because that's his background.
Talking to Stephen Hawley, a candidate for New York State Assembly, once again in District number 139. He is running unopposed. And let me ask you to describe for listeners why it is that you still want to do this work. I am not insinuating anything, Mr. Assemblyman. I'm just asking this isn't about age or length of service. We do this with everybody. Why do you want the job? And for you, why do you want to keep the job?
Well, a lot of reasons. I think everything is probably described in my service club's motto. I'm a Rotarian. My father was a Rotarian. My grandfather was a Rotarian. And that motto is service above self. I've always tried to live that way, as have my dad and my grandfather. And we try to serve our community. I have an occupation. I think it's important that people have real life experiences and know what happens in personal lives as well as in business, whether you're a business owner or whether you work for someone else. I think that's extremely important. My family history really is what kind of drives all of us. My father sat on the Genesee County Legislature representing the towns of Batavia and Stafford. I sat on the Genesee County Legislature representing the towns of Batavia and Stafford in Genesee County. My son now sits on the Genesee County Legislature representing the towns of Batavia and Stafford. It's not because of the name, it's because of what we try to do for and with our community. And it's on both sides of my family. My father's great aunt, my great great aunt, Ella Holly Crossett, has a plaque in downtown Warsaw in Wyoming County. She also has a big mural that just went up because she was very involved with women's suffrage in the state of New York back in the day. She's on the plaque on the first floor, second floor as you come out of the State Street into the Capitol with Susan B. Anthony. On my mom's side, my grandmother, 103 years ago now, at Seneca Falls, spoke at that gathering of women to try to get women the right to vote, women's suffrage. She was there with my aunt, who was a year and a half old at the time, and my aunt lived to be 103 and a half, and she was at the 100th year celebration for the second time, and she spoke at that conference. So we've tried over the generations to be good citizens, good neighbors, helping to make our community a better place to be. And even though I've been doing this for a while now, there's not a day that goes by where I'm not looking forward to who I'm going to see, where I'm going to be, what I'm going to say. And whether it's a librarian retiring like the other night over in Holly, I was there to give her a citation and give her a hug and thank her for her service, or the expansion of Oxbow in Bergen, creating another 60 jobs with 140 they've already got. It's just such a great thing to be able to have different things going on every day and try to make our community a better place to be.
Well, if your party, Assemblyman Hawley, can gain a legislative majority sometime in the future, and again, we caution listeners not to believe in political permanence. Things can change, and they do change over time. What would be right now the most likely set of changes that your party would pursue legislatively? What would be happening in 2025?
Yeah, and things do change. Before I give you the answer to that, I'll give you an example. My father served in the state assembly from 1973 to 1992. He was also a farmer, as was I. And when he was elected in 1973 at a special election, he was a member of the majority.
Yeah.
He was a Republican. And then something called Watergate hit under President Richard Nixon. And all across this country, Republicans were thrown out of office. And he never served in the majority again all of those 20 years. Times change. We've been as low as 37 in our conference. We're at 48 right now. We believe we're going to pick up a few more seats to make it more of a representative state assembly as opposed to what I believe is right now. Some of the top issues are public safety, the bail reform laws that were passed, and the stipulations in there have become very, very onerous for law enforcement and town justices and judges. There needed to be reform. There's no question about it. But it's gone way, way too far. We have disrespect of law enforcement. We have disrespect of authority, people of authority, whether it's law enforcement or teachers or whatever the case may be, whether it's purchasing your goods and services in stores or stealing them. There just seems to be a change in society where that respect is no longer there. My my stepdaughter lived in Charlotte Apartments at the corner of Charlotte and Union downtown Rochester. And a couple of years ago, a 16-year-old, because of the raise the age, held up a vehicle at gunpoint, stole it, hijacked it, and was told by law enforcement when they apprehended him not to do that again and appear in court. The very next day, less than 24 hours later, same corner, same exact thing, with a different person, but he was 16. We have three NYPD retired officers in the state assembly in our conference, and I remember them very clearly saying this is nothing short of a gang recruitment piece of legislation, because we can't hold somebody responsible criminally and they have to go to family court. You know what's going to happen, and we've seen that over and over again. I think it probably the economy is a huge issue as well. We would attack that in oh so many ways. We've got the highest, from what I understand, the highest inflation in 40 years, whether it's gas, whether it's food, whether it's clothing, whether it's utilities. We just have to get a handle on and property taxes, obviously, and income taxes. My goodness sakes, my son, unfortunately, just moved from New York State as a young attorney down to Charleston, South Carolina. And it wasn't for the weather. It's because of public safety. He was in New York City. Public safety. He just had his first child, my granddaughter. And he can walk to work without fear of having some issues. There's a small state income tax, but there's no city income tax like there is in New York. And the property taxes are, and what you can buy with a dollar, go far, far more than they do in the state of New York. So we need people moving here for jobs and families, not away. And we need folks coming here for the right reasons as opposed to coming here for some of the public benefits that we have.
Well, some of your colleagues on the Democratic side have said that the 2019 bail reform has been now amended a couple of times and that judges have a lot more discretion now than they did 5 years ago, that there is more of an opportunity to make sure that they've got the chance to make the kinds of decisions on, you know, holding people who are accused and assessing concern for community safety. It certainly sounds to me like you don't think it's enough. What do you make of the changes and amendments to bail reform?
Well, it's an election year. I'll say that. There have been several changes, and with regard to judges being able to use their discretion, minuscule minor changes, M&M I call that, and they are not able to utilize and look at the dangerousness that someone accused of a crime, the dangerousness to society. That's not one of the characteristics or portions of what they can utilize. And that's huge. I quite frankly, the 16-year-old that held up the car with a gun twice in 24 hours, I consider that the dangerousness of that to be fairly important. So there have been some changes, but in terms of whether they're significant or not, law enforcement and judges will tell you absolutely not. They still have very little ability to put people who are a danger to society in jail.
The highest population town in your assembly district, Mr. Assemblyman, is what?
I would say probably Batavia.
Batavia. So do you think there are kids growing up in Batavia who look at the current legal landscape and think, well, you know, there's just not consequences. I could steal a car, I could hold somebody up. There's not consequences, and I'm going to do that. Do you think that whether it's in Batavia, whether it's in the most rural parts of your district, do you think that that is the mindset of young people in your district?
I don't think it's the mindset of young people anywhere. I think that what happens is, where there are more people, population-wise, verbiage spreads rapidly. And when you have a greater population versus what we have, say, the city of Batavia is 17,000 people versus the city of Buffalo, the city of Rochester, Syracuse, wherever you want to go, there are a lot more folks that live there, and so word travels even more rapidly. So, no, I don't think that's the mindset here or in Rochester. I think it's just that the word spreads more rapidly, whether it's by word of mouth, whether it's through the technology we have today, or one's background, and whether they have been exposed to this type of behavior in the past, whether it's wherever it is, that's part of the deal.
A couple more minutes here. Just want to ask you a little bit more about the job base here. You mentioned an expansion of a company, adding 60 jobs. What do you think the job base of the future is for not only for your district, but for New York State?
Sure. I think that in order to retain and expand existing businesses, we need to make it competitive here in terms of taxation. We need to make it competitive here so that the employees who might be hired in an expansion situation could afford to have homes, whether they want to live in an apartment or want to actually own their own home. We need to get this inflation under control again in this state so that the cost of living is within the realm of reasonableness. And if we want businesses to come from other areas to this state, those same things need to happen. I can tell you that another business here happens to be in the city of Batavia, Chapin Manufacturing, has been here for 140 some odd years. They just celebrated that anniversary, and I had the pleasure of attending. Unfortunately, they wanted to expand, but because of the cost of doing business here, the property taxes, as well as all the rest of the fees and mandates, they make sprayers, by the way, little handheld sprayers for your lawn and for your garden, Chapin Manufacturing, people know that name. They expanded, but not in Batavia, not in Genesee County, not in Western New York, not in the state of New York. For the first time ever, they went to Tennessee. And the reason for that are all the things I aforementioned. I'm proud of Oxbow, an agricultural equipment manufacturer, which started decades ago. We need to get real. We need jobs here. We need people to stay here and for their living.
Assemblyman Stephen Hawley, thank you for being generous with your time. It is always good to talk to you. Thank you for making it for this program.
Thank you so much, Evan. Keep up the good work.
Stephen Hawley is a member of the New York State Assembly running unopposed for re-election in District number 139. We catalog all of the interviews for the candidates, wxxinews.org/elections. More connections coming up in a moment.